Willkommen, this is Julia.
And this is Shane, who misses Think Plant-Based. Think Plant-Based. Make sure to check out recipes, health tips, travel tips at www.thinkplantbased.com.
And we're officially on iTunes, so please rate and write us a review on iTunes.
Write us a review. Give us 2 stars, 3 stars, maybe 5 stars. Let us know.
Oh, for sure, five.
Yeah, I mean, who would give us 2 stars anyways, yeah. Right? But yeah, make sure to do that because that's how we get found.
Shane, I know it's a super special day today again, right?
Sun shining?
Well, this too, but...
Oh. Vancouver, that's always a special day when the sun's shining.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I told some other friends that we have him on our podcast today and their eyes went like so
bug-eyed.
Wide open.
They yeah. bug-eyed. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, yeah, we got to have him
and
on
who,
our podcast.
And who is that?
Howard Lyman.
Hi, Howard. How you doing?
I am fine. How about you?
Oh, we're doing
pretty
great.
Good.
We're doing great.
Have you got your green shirt on today?
Actually, no.
No, okay. We're going to tonight, for sure.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Great birthday. What else can I do?
Yeah, totally. Celebrating it in Edinburgh there?
Well, you know, I just, it's the favorite color of my grass, so I try to enhance everything green.
That's awesome.
That's great. Well, yeah, please tell the listeners more about yourself. We know you were at Cowspiracy.
Yeah, famous from Cowspiracy and other films.
Well, I'm just an old fourth-generation farmer, rancher, feedlot operator from Montana. Went to Montana State University, got a degree in agriculture. I always wanted to be an agribusinessman and... So I couldn't spell it, but I went to school to see if I could learn it.
Yeah, you always got to get knowledge, right?
Yeah, I never met a chemical that I didn't like, and I really thought that our cause in life was to bring nature to heal, to make sure that she ended up doing what we wanted to do to feed a hungry world.
Right.
And... You know, I got out of school, came home, and took a one-horse operation and turned it into an operation where I had up to 7,000 head of cattle,
wow,
12,000 wow. acres of crop, 30 employees. Can't tell you what a thrill it was the first time I wrote a check for $1 million.
Crazy.
But, yeah.
You know, just when I was on top of the world, I ended up paralyzed from the waist down. doctor told me that I had a tumor on my spinal cord and that if the tumor was on the inside of the cord, I had less than one chance in a million that I would ever walk again.
Oh, wow.
You know, that really pulls you up short. I had a wife and 6 kids and you know, not ever being able to walk again, it really makes you take inventory of your life.
Totally.
Yeah.
And when I was waiting for the operation, I just wondered, you know, odds of 1 in a million, I'd probably never walk again. What kind of an invalid would I be? Would I actually take my life and make it amount to something, or... would I spend the rest of my life just in a wheelchair feeling sorry for myself? Well, the night before the operation, I decided that however it turned out, never again in my life would I ever do anything that I wasn't comfortable with. And I had seen the soil going from a real live growing soil, using all the chemicals, so a dead entity. I'd seen the look in the eyes of the animals going to slaughter. Wasn't comfortable about that. But anyway, I went, they operated on me, and took a tumor out of the inside of my spinal cord.
Wow.
I went out of the hospital with a 1 in a million operation. But I have to tell you that I walked out a very different individual than I went in.
I bet.
I was questioning everything that I was doing. I walked out of the hospital convinced that the way I was running my operation was wrong. Wasn't sure what to do about it. Gave it a lot of thought. And then I decided that I would become an organic farmer. And I went and saw my banker, and I said to him, you know, I need to borrow some money. He said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I think I'm going to change my operation from using all of the chemicals to becoming an organic farmer. And right. He looked at me, and he laughed. And he said, you think I'm going to lend you money, and you're not going to spend it with my other customers? The chemical dealer, the pharmaceutical dealer, the fertilizer dealer. So here I was at having an operation that I was not comfortable doing it the way I had been doing it. Could not borrow money to make a change.
Right.
And I ended up and I sold my operation. I paid my debts and I started working with other farmers to not make the mistakes that I'd made. But I got a call, you know, in the meantime, I had run for the United States House of Representatives. I lost to a 6-term incumbent by 4 percentage points. And a lot of people said to me, said, you know, you have great name recognition. Now you ought to run again. My wife looked at me and said, if you ever decide to run for political office again, you got to find a new wife.
Oh, no. She didn't like it.
Did not like that. And so that shelved my political career.
Right.
But I got a call and they asked me if I'd like to go to Washington, D.C. and work in Capitol Hill as a lobbyist for a small farm organization. And I thought, you know, 535 members of Congress, the only problem they had is they just didn't have any idea what was really going on with farmers. Right. And so I went to Washington, D.C. I worked 5 years on Capitol Hill, and I learned a real eye-opener. The only thing in Washington, D.C. that's important is to get reelected. Has nothing to do with good for the planet or good for the people. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about getting reelected.
Right. Is it more about the optics, you think? Like the smoke and mirror,
oh, yeah.
Everything's good, yeah.
You know,
yeah, I can see
take
that.
The perks, you know, fly first class, you know. So anyway, I said to my friends, I said, you know, this deal is rigged. We got to go and start talking to the people.
Right.
They looked at me, and they laughed, and they said, you think that you're going to go out and talk to the people at the grassroots and make a change? Good luck. Well, I did that.
Right.
I spent the next 15 years on the road. I traveled up to 100,000 miles a year. I slept on a lot of people's floors and never stayed in a hotel or motel, but I stayed with people. I talked to large groups of 25,000. I talked to a group one time of 2. And I'm not sure that percentage-wise I probably got a greater response out of those 2 than I did the 25,000.
I bet.
But, yeah.
You know, what's happening in the world today? People just can't bring themselves to take and sort out right from wrong.
Right.
You know, one time everybody thought the world was flat. Well, that's wrong. The world isn't flat.
Yeah.
At one time, most people thought slavery was a good idea. Slavery's not a good idea.
No. Nope.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
Morally,
there was a time that we thought that women should not have the right to vote. That's wrong.
Right.
So, you know, we're faced right now with the human sapiens are the first species on the face of the earth that have the potential to make themselves extinct. Right. What we're doing right now with human global climate change has the potential to extinguish our species from the face of the earth. What we're doing today is wrong. We know what's right.
We
have a moral compass, right?
Yep,
we know what's right and wrong, what makes sense to us.
Yep, we know that smoking will kill us, but we continue to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
We know that human health, the best treatment for human health is diet, but we like the addiction to meat, and we like the addiction to cheese. It's wrong, but, we continue to do that. As we sit here and talk today, the majority of the pollutants that are going up in global greenhouse gases is coming from livestock. The number one cause.
Right.
It's not coal-fired generators. It's not cars, trucks, and buses. It's the livestock that's out there. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's crazy, that
we don't really want to deal with. You know, talking about changing our diet, that's tough to do. The problem is that the standard diet today is wrong.
It's not working.
But how did you go plant-based, if it's like, especially in your situation? Like, I mean,
because you're surrounded by all the agricultural, you know, and the farmers and everything.
That must be a miracle. Like, you're one of the hardest one that go plant-based, in my opinion.
You know, I was working in Washington, D.C., and I was walking through the bottom of the Longworth office building, and that's where they mail out all of the free mail for the members of Congress, and they have a big scale that's there, and they're allowed to send out so many pounds of mail a month. And so I'm walking by, and, you know, I'd just been to an event where I went through a health screening, and my blood pressure was sky high, and my cholesterol was over 300. And I looked at that scale, and I thought, gee, nobody around. Maybe I'll just step on that scale and see what I weigh.
Right.
Remember, when I was Montana State University, I played football, and I weighed well over 300 pounds at that time playing football.
Wow.
Well, here I was in Washington, D.C. I stepped on the scale, and wow, well over 300 pounds. And I thought, gee, you know, every time I have lunch, my nose wants to bleed. Maybe what I ought to do is change my diet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not going to tell anybody about it. Here I am working for a farm organization.
Yeah.
And I became a closet vegetarian.
Right. So you did it for health reasons then, mostly.
I lost some weight. My blood pressure came down. My cholesterol came down. And
wow.
I thought, wow, you know, if I can do that, being a vegetarian, I wonder what I could do if I became a vegan.
Wow.
Smart move.
How many years ago is this now that you've been
vegan? This is back in 1990.
So,
almost 1990, I became a vegan.
Okay, 1992?
I lost
well over 100 pounds.
Wow, congrats.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
My blood pressure went from sky high to normal. My cholesterol when I started was 300. As I talked to you today, it's 105.
Wow. So big change.
I think I saved my life.
Right.
Definitely.
Changing my diet.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that working for a farm organization and becoming a hardcore vegan was not a real comfortable thing.
I can only imagine, yeah.
So, anyway, I gave up working on Capitol Hill and started traveling around and started talking to people and started out. My reason for talking to people about changing was health. You know, this is what I did, this is what you could do.
Right.
But the fact of it is, I kept remembering the look in the eyes of the animals when I sent them to slaughter. And I made up my mind that never again in my life would I be responsible for an animal's dying.
Wow. Right. You have such a big heart. You know, what do you think? Why are there not more farmers in this world that have the same, like, feelings like you do?
It's,
you know,
probably
why?
Money, right?
Do you think like money rules here? Is that, and the emotions don't matter? Or?
Nope. I think we are herd animals. Nobody wants to leave the herd.
Right.
Nobody
like
wants
the tribe,
to eat.
Right.
When everybody else is eating meat, boy, maybe I ought to be eating meat. Anybody else is smoking, boy, maybe I ought to smoke.
Exactly.
Somebody else is drinking, maybe I ought to drink.
Mm-hmm.
People just do not, they do not want to be separated from the herd.
Right.
Totally.
Now, remember, I went through the fact of being paralyzed. That, to me, was a lot more significant than worried about what somebody else thought about what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And
right.
So, for me, it started out on this path because of health, and then it was the animals. And today, I will tell you the reason that I do what I do in my life today is about one thing, and that's the human impact on global climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, if what I do is for my health, that's one person's health.
Right.
If what I do for animals, that's one animal. But what I do for global climate change, that involves everybody. Everybody on the planet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Has got a chip in the pot on global climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, what I do today is I've learned that you can't point at somebody and say, let me tell you what you ought to do. That doesn't work. You have one finger pointed at them and four back at yourself.
Right.
I basically talk to people and say, I want to tell you what a damn fool I was at one time. Everybody's willing to buy into that I'm a damn fool. It's well known that, so that's not a put-off for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the same thing is, I get the same information in their ears that I couldn't have got in if I'd have told them they were the problem. And so, you know, today I look at my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and I say, you know, I may not save the world, and what I do may not make a difference.
Right.
But nobody's ever going to say I didn't try.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So true.
The task that we have today is not how much money we make. It's not how big a car we drive. It isn't about having oceanfront property. What we're about today is survival of the species.
Right.
And so what I try to do is I try to put information in people's minds that never goes away. You know, if I talk to people and I talk to them about what I was able to do with my blood pressure, and they're seeing their doctor, and their doctor's talking about them taking this pill or that pill, maybe back in the corner of their mind to say, gee, you know, that Lyman, he had this problem. He was able
to deal with it. Yeah.
And he didn't buy any pills.
Right.
You know, people can be just like I was. They can be called closet plant eaters.
Sure. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So talking on environmental, how was it working on Cowspiracy, knowing that that movie would have such a big impact, I think, on people today?
Definitely.
Well, when you look at it, the way people learn, it isn't always what they hear.
Right.
It's about what they see. And that's why those videos are so important.
Yeah.
Because people are much greater learners
visually
on what they see than what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to give the people that put Cowspiracy together a lot of credit and a lot of work, taking a significant risk,
right,
going out opposing the big money cattle industry. But every one of the things that's happening today, every one of the environmental groups, every one of the veg societies, every one of the videos that are produced, is another brick in the wall. And
right.
I fully believe that 80% of the people alive on the planet today are brain dead. I really do.
That's really how it feels.
Yeah, we just wake up, go to work, you know, we eat, then we sleep,
have to pay
and then
bills,
we
right?
pay bills and repeat. But we don't. I don't think we see the bigger picture of what it means to be alive and what we're doing to the planet. Yeah, you're right. We just get stuck in these set ways and follow our own tribe,
right?
Like you're saying, follow the herd. And.
And once the weekend is coming, like, people are mostly drunk, right? So there's no time really to actually reflect on your week even, you know? It's just like, okay, let's just not get emotional here. Like, being emotional here is, like, in this society is kind of like taboo, right? We don't really talk about it. It's like, we don't have time for it. We have to work. And
We seem to get distressed with the fact that 80% of the people are brain dead, and we think, oh, how in the world are we ever going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
We have to wake them up.
If only 20% of the people are thinking, it only takes 11% of them to decide what they're going to do and allows the 80% to follow.
Right.
The 80% always follows. They never make an original decision.
Right.
Yeah.
So totally.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is only to educate 11% of the people. And if you look at it today, you can go to any truck stop in North America and get a vegan meal.
Totally. Yeah.
So things have changed.
Oh, I bet.
They're changing all the time. And so I think what we need to do is look at it and think, wow, we're winning.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
I truly believe that before I die, and I'm almost 80 years old today, I believe before I die, the majority of people in North America will be plant eaters. I really believe that.
Right.
If you look at what's happening now with companies buying up vegan food companies, and you
got celebrities now saying to become vegan for everything. So, I mean, that's got to have a huge impact because they follow, right? Who's
going
to follow your idol, and they're going to do what they're going to do to be, you know, as skinny and healthy as them.
Exactly. Yeah. It gets all spread on social media, right? Like, social media nowadays is a tool, you know? That's why we actually have more vegans too, because people see it on social media, right? It's easy. People live it. They share it with the world. You know, you can see it. So it's just a quicker message nowadays.
There's a big difference now than there was when I became a vegan back in 1990.
Right.
You know, my wife and I were talking the other day, and she was a vegetarian before I was, and I was a vegan before she was. She always told me, she said, oh, a little cheese is not going to hurt you. We went to a conference and heard T. Colin Campbell speak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Nice.
My wife came home and she says, I'm a vegan now.
Just took that. Hey?
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it just takes that one moment where you start to realize your impact on your body and everyone around you in the environment. Mm-hmm. And it just tends to make sense to you, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah. Well, we're approaching 30 years as vegan, and I had a dream one night, and it was really strange. And I was dreaming along, and this person had a gun to my head, and he said, eat this hamburger or I'm going to shoot you.
What?
Well, that was a no-brainer. Of course I'd eat the hamburger.
In a dream. Okay, so
anyway, I took it and I was about to take a bite and I stopped and looked at it and thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And I turned around and the person said, nah, you better shoot. I woke up in the coldest sweat you can imagine.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But for me, there's nothing in the world that has been more satisfying than changing my diet.
Right.
And food today, you know, my wife and I moved to Ellensburg, Washington back in 2005, and we started a vegetarian society.
Oh, great.
That's awesome, and, yeah.
We send out the notice every month and says, you know, come, it's the best meal in town once a month.
And that's a pretty big animal agricultural area, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ellensburg happens to be the home of the Washington Cattlemen's Association.
Oh, wow. Oh,
there you go, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought. It was pretty big.
They just love me.
Yeah.
We're really very close, so... But life is good.
That's good.
I enjoy eating the best food in the world. I can stop at any pasture and talk to any herd of cows and tell them, you don't have to worry about me.
I'm a friend.
Aww.
Never going to cause your death.
Do you have cows out of your house? Like they're grazing around?
We have cows that are probably a quarter of a mile away. Oh. I talk to them all the time.
Aw, that's cute.
That's awesome.
Well, I wanted to ask you something about the Oprah show. You're very famous that you were on the show and everyone...
Always about the Oprah, right?
Yeah,
everyone probably wants to always talk about that one.
Exactly. So, I mean, everyone I talk to about, oh yeah, we have Howard Lyman on our podcast. They're like, oh yeah, he was at Oprah, right? Like, how was it for you to be on that show? I mean,
and do you think it was like a huge eye-opener for like... For people and the cattle industry, seeing what's actually going on, like that was a big impact, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, the cattle industry, when I was on the Oprah show and she basically said, that stops me cold, I'll never again eat a burger. And the cattle industry sued us not only one time, but they sued us four times.
Wow, they're probably still trying to sue.
we won every time, but what they were convinced of is that they could not prove that what I said was wrong.
Right.
What they wanted to do is they wanted every news organization in North America to realize you can go out and you can publish the truth. But we are going to make it so expensive for you that you'll wish you'd had done something about a traffic problem rather than the North American diet.
Wow.
And the difficulty is that we planted information in the minds of millions of people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they could never erase that. And so You know, I don't recommend to anybody to get sued for $180 million.
But, thank God Oprah had your back on that one, eh?
Yeah, right? Well,
hey, I have a feeling that's not true.
No.
No?
The problem is, each one of us was being sued for $180 million.
Oh, wow.
Oprah was not going to pay my part of it if we lost. Wow. My wife, she looked at me and she said, "We're being sued for $180 million? We're going to lose. If we lose, we're going to lose everything we had." And I said, "Yep. Jeez. They're going to end up with a 1979 Ford Taurus with a couple hundred thousand miles. They'll probably have to get it overhauled before they can drive it away."
Oh, so,
crazy.
Anyway, we won, like I say.
Right. Congratulations
on
that.
Congrats.
I think that's a big step in, you know, activism and the movement of freedom of speech. I mean,
exactly.
Yep. These companies with big money can just, you know, pay you off to stop talking about the real problems that we have as a society, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy how much money they have and how they can just, you know, bully you basically into
shutting you down.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you're strong. Yep. You know, you showed how strong you are, and you stand up for what you believe in.
I totally,
you know, that's
applaud
so
you
powerful.
For that. Yeah, that's very big and noble of you for doing that.
For me, it always came back to the point when I was paralyzed.
Right.
It always came back to the commitment that I made that I would always do what I thought was right,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the cost. And, you know, the fact of it is, I truly believe when I look at my life that I've been honest to my commitment.
Right.
I haven't done everything perfectly,
mm-hmm.
but I did it as well as I knew how, and I did it for the good of the planet. And, you know, I'm proud of my life.
You should. We are.
Yeah, we're proud of your life as well. It's
you're a living legend. That's what you are.
Living legend, yeah.
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 Definitely.
Anyway, it's nice to travel around the world and see people do what is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Do what's right instead of doing what's wrong. And, you know, I think that many times if we go to Europe, for example, they're probably ahead of us as far as understanding diet, energy.
For sure.
Yes, they are.
Julia is actually from Germany, Berlin.
And it's very progressive.
The vegan movement there is crazy. I mean, even their political offices, they have to have like vegan food.
Yes.
They won't even serve meat in there anymore.
Yeah, in their parliament, you have to.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's they see the environmental impact, right? So it just makes sense to cater vegan food.
I think it's more that they have so little space left in Europe. I mean, like North America, we have vast space of, you know, cattle grazing grounds. But in Europe, it's so dense that you have to think about the environment. There's so many people in such a small area. And I think that they're like you said, definitely ahead of North America when it comes to stuff like
that. Well, we had a lot of diseases too, right? Mad cow disease in England and stuff. All this, like, gets
never
in Europe.
That the people in Europe know what hunger is.
Right.
Yeah.
They went through the Second World War and
they were
hungry. And they knew the difference between how healthy people were when they were not eating meat, even when they were not getting enough food.
Right.
Oh, there's a lot of native intelligence in Europe. And don't sell them short. Those people are ahead of the curve in many, many ways.
Right.
Yeah.
So talking about food.
Yeah, talking
right?
about food. What do you think about these, you know, new Beyond Burgers and like Impossible Burgers coming out to market, especially, you know, being the cattle person you used to be? Do you think it's a step forward or do you think it's, you know, what's your opinion on it?
If you want to talk about somebody having a transition food, that probably has something to be said for it. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my favorite meal, without a doubt, is chopped cabbage, rice, beans, pico, and jalapenos.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Tex-Mex with some chipotle hot sauce on there. Yeah. That sounds delicious.
That, for me, is the best meal in the world.
I agree. And,
sounds very good.
You know, the idea that they have to produce something to make me think that it looks or tastes like meat. Right. I do not want anything in my diet that tastes or looks like dead flesh. I want real, live food. So, you know, it's when you end up getting your system cleaned out and you get used to eating plants, it just can't get a whole lot better than that.
Right. Have you tried any of those Beyond Burgers or anything? Just curiosity? Nope. No? Do you have any aspirations to try it?
Actually really good.
I have no interest at all.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, yeah, definitely on a health aspect, they are a processed food and, right. You know. But
I see it more as fun food.
Yeah.
It just came up in Canada. Now it's actually quite new. So, but people seem to like it. I mean, it's a transition. I met this woman at the supermarket and she was like asking us, oh, is it really good? Because I want to give up eating meat, and but it needs to taste really good, you know, or I can't give up meat, you know. And we're like, okay, just give it a try and see, you know, but it's very close. And she's like, okay, then I get like two packages, right? Remember the four burgers she got?
Yeah, their clientele is 80% meat eaters. Yeah. So actually,
it's in the meat section,
right? It's in the meat section. And
we wouldn't find it.
Most vegans don't go walking into the meat, you know, aisle looking for a burger or something, you know what I mean? So,
well, anything that keeps from killing an animal cannot be all bad.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, the thought of something having to die for you to live, that's there's got to be something wrong there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So for me, I'm all about good plant-based food. I'm about animals living. I'm about trying to improve the environment on planet Earth for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. That's what it's about for me. And, you know, I've already been given the greatest gift in the world. I was able to walk out of a one-in-a-million operation.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, everything today is good.
Won the lottery, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we are actually able in this valley that I live in, we were able to sue the large confinement feeding operations in federal court and beat them.
Wow.
We were the first place in the world that we showed that the contamination of the groundwater was coming from those large confined animal feeding operations up above. And so every one of us can do a little bit of something
exactly
to make the world better, and the sooner the better.
Right. Every step counts, right, to the right direction. I mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Do you see the like meat and dairy farms kind of growing to more plant-based foods? Like, how would you tell maybe a farmer that's still in the animal agricultural business, like how to transition into doing like plant-based food production, I guess?
Well, let's put it this way. If you can grow food for an animal,
yeah,
you grow food for a human.
Exactly.
That is true,
why?
Right?
It's so much easier.
And, you know, I truly believe that the future of the large livestock operations is going to be tourism. It's about the millions of people that live in areas that never see wild animals, never see deer or elk or antelope.
Mm-hmm.
And they will spend a lot of money to come and see things like that.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot more economic to view animals than it is to raise them to kill them. So, you know, we have a long way to go, but people have to learn the difference between right and wrong.
Right. They have to use their moral compass, as I always say.
Well, we talked actually with Will Tuttle about it last week, like, but people don't get taught like what's right or wrong in school, right? We don't learn like, oh, you gotta love animals and cows are your friends and chickens are actually very cuddly too. You know, like we don't learn these things really at school, you know? So it's really hard to get even exposed to it, right? To really be more compassionate to the animals we actually eat.
Well, if slaughtering animals was good, they'd put windows in slaughterhouses. They would have
they wouldn't hide the truth, yeah.
Right.
Going to slaughterhouses.
Mm-hmm.
If we want more vegans, all we have to do is show what really happens in a slaughterhouse.
Right.
Right.
People need to understand that the reason those animals are dying is because they are willing to pay for it.
Right.
Totally.
It doesn't happen accidentally. It's on purpose.
Right.
Supply and demand feed, yeah.
You know what what's interesting though, like Howard, like it's like, let's say people eat meat, but they don't want to see the graphics how animals get slaughtered. Like it's just too much for them. They just don't want to see it. You know, they get like aggressive about it. No, I don't want to see it. But the next day or the next moment they have their burger. That's a hard one, right?
If we ended up with people having to walk through a chicken operation where they're collecting eggs, there'd be a whole lot less of eating eggs. Mm-hmm. If people had to go to a slaughter facility and see how the animal dies to become that burger they're eating, there'd be a whole lot less people eating burgers.
Right.
But you know, if we took them into the garden and they saw tomatoes growing, or carrots, or radishes,
right,
or cabbage, you're not going to put people off of eating vegetables by seeing how they grow.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we can't look away from the truth, you know? The truth is so much powerful than what we ignore.
Right. I think with social media and the internet, the truth is prevailing.
Exactly.
And I think more and more people are becoming aware of that, and it's kind of hard to hide it now.
Well, you know, you look at the fact that when I started out, if you had a group of 20 people, it was pretty good size. You look at what happens now with social media, it's not unusual to have a million people view what you put out within a series of hours.
Right. So, yeah, especially with the podcast, you can do one talk and get out to millions of people.
Around the world, you know?
Instead of traveling, yeah, instead of having to do the legwork of traveling, now you can connect with globally.
That's why we love having you on our podcast, because it's amazing, like someone from New Zealand or like South Africa is going to listen to our conversation, you know, it's so powerful.
Totally.
And that's why, yeah, it's amazing just how things move nowadays and the message gets like spread everywhere so within seconds. So that's amazing.
My wife and I went to Africa and we saw the animals, you know. It was the most amazing experience in the world to see leopards and lions and wildebeest and zebras and elephants, giraffes. To see those animals and to see that you left, they were still alive. I cannot imagine how anybody could go and shoot those animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a great time, and they're magnificent beasts.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
I bet.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your time, for your amazing conversation with us.
Well, don't do anything that I wouldn't do. And those things that I would do, do them twice.
Sounds good.
Nice.
All right. Have a great day now.
Thank you. And is there a way we can find you, let's say, like on social media? Or do you have any way, like for people, how they can, if they want to know more about you?
They can always access my email, hlyman@aol.com.
Sounds
still
good.
AOL, eh?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Believe it or not, I've had the same email address now for over 30 years.
That's great.
Wow.
And are you still traveling with your wife? at the moment?
Very, very rarely.
Okay. Right. Well, if you ever come up to Vancouver, BC, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We'll take you out to a delicious vegan place.
Definitely. I'll tell you what. I love Vancouver. It's my favorite city in North America.
Oh, wow. In North America.
Wow.
And I have some of my world's greatest friends live in Vancouver. And so I love coming up there.
Okay, please come up.
Yeah, and, it's a short drive. So.
All right. Well, you take care and keep working.
Thank you. You too. Have a fantastic day.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.